تزكية لقلوبنا وتطهيرا لنفوسنا وتعجيلا لفرج سيدنا ومولانا بقية الله الأعظم الحجة ابن الحسن المهدي، أرواحنا وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفدا. عطروا مجالسكم بالصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا آل بيت محمد أي منقلب ينقلبون. والعاقبة للمتقين. السلام عليك سيدي ومولاي يا رسول الله. Salutations be upon you, O beloved Prophet Muhammad. Salutations be upon you, O beloved Commander of the Faithful, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Salutations be upon you, O beloved Lady Zahra. Salutations be upon you, O beloved Imam Hassan. Salutations be upon you, O beloved Imam Hussein. Ya Aba Abdillah, Ya Ibn Rasulillah. يا أبا عبد الله سيدي ماستر إمام حسين. O Imam Hussein, I stand here before you tonight to recite, to remember and remind everyone of what happened on the battlefield of Karbala on the 10th day of Muharram. On the Ashir of Muharram, dear brothers and sisters, Imam Hussein alayhi salam was martyred on the battlefield. But right after, when the enemies of Allah attacked the camp of Imam Hussein, they burned the camp on which, dear brothers and sisters, you see the tents are on fire, the women and the children are running in different ways, calling for Imam Hussein. A young daughter, a young girl from the camp of Imam Hussein. Imagine her, she had something wrapped around her head. She was running, calling Sayyidi Hussein. And the enemies of Allah kept on following her. They wanted to grab onto her. Those enemies of Allah, enemies of humanity, with no heart, with no soul, they tried to get anything they would have their hands on. And this enemy of Allah kept going after the girl as she was running. He was not able to grab hold of her with his spear. He hit her on her head. she fell on the ground. Dear brothers and sisters, men with no hearts, men with no conscience, they say, he tried, she had earrings on. This little girl, look at their hearts, she had some earrings on. He tried to take it off of her, he couldn't, he ripped it off her ears. She started bleeding under the heat of the sun. She stayed laying in the battlefield on the plains of Karbala. Lady Zainab, gathering the woman and the children, she from far away saw a little body laying on the grounds of Karbala. They say, Lady Zainab, she went, she saw this little girl laying on the grounds of Karbala. Blood dried up from her ears, because under the sun, under the heat, they say, Lady Zainab, she took this girl, she put her on the lap. After looking at her, she couldn't help, her tears started coming down from her eyes. When they reached the girl's face, this young girl woke up, opened her eyes. What was the first thing that was uttered from this young girl's mouth? Did she ask, Lady Zainab, give me something to eat? No, she didn't. Did she ask her, give me something to drink? No, she didn't. They say she started looking around with her hands, said, Amma Zainab, Auntie Zainab, give me something to cover my head with. Amma, Amma Zainab, Amma Zainab, oh Auntie Zainab, give me something to cover my head with. Amma Zainab, why is it they're doing this to us? Amma Zainab, call Imam Hussein. Amma Zainab, call Uncle Abbas. Amma Zainab, Amma, Amma, Auntie Zainab. Lady Zainab, from the bottom of her heart, remembering Imam Hussein, Noor Aini Hussein, for everything that happened, for the love of Hussein, Habibi Hussein, Noor Aini Hussein, Habibi Hussein, Noor Aini Hussein, Hussein. Ya laytana kunna ma'akum. We wish we were with you, O Ahlul Bayt. فنفوز فوزا عظيما. صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. والصلاة والسلام على النبي الهاشمي المدني الأبطحي التهامي السيد البهي السراج المضيء الكوكب الدري صاحب الوقار والسكينة المدفون بالمدينة العبد المؤيد الرسول المسدد المصطفى الأمجد حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear respected brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Before we start, I would like us to remember the beloved 12th Holy Imam Salamullahi Ta'ala Alayh by standing up and taking a step forward to making some space with Allah Salawat Ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And a second time for the love of Imam Hussein Alayhi Salam. And for the love of Lady Zahra alayha salam in the loudest of all your voices. The Almighty Allah says in the Holy Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء ويجعلكم خلفاء الأرض أإله مع الله قليلا صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات. Dear respected brothers and sisters, as we have been building up to this night and the nights to follow, we have been focusing on the mission, the goals and objectives for the message sent by Allah Azza wa Jal and our role in it. What should we do? How can we do things to help support this message? And as you realize, in the past nights, I have been focusing on our duty to protect that knowledge. For we try in many different ways to protect that knowledge from being deviated. Not the knowledge itself being deviant, but we, us or others, deviating that knowledge. Delivering the wrong message. Telling the wrong information. Not studying enough. Not doing our job. And in doing that, in reality, as we have talked yesterday, that the Imam Salamullahi Ta'ala Alayh, in his appearance, on the day of his appearance, the Imam Salamullahi Ta'ala Alayh will bring this religion to the hearts of the people. And this is not delivered by force or violence. Yes, at times there would be some battles. There would be some wars. It is just natural when some people will stand who do not, these people who do not want to use the tools of reason. They do not want to understand and they do not want to allow others to express. And what happens? They start using violence and force. This is where the Imam Salamullahi Ta'ala Alayhi will use force like any in any other country, in any other leadership. It becomes means for what? To stabilize the region, to make sure that these individuals that want to corrupt the land are stopped. It is not the first means that the Imam alayhi salam will use to spread the message. The message in the hands of the Imam is spread through reason, is through the intellect, to open that heart and allow the ideas and principles to settle in the heart. Our responsibility is to prepare for that, to allow people, subhanAllah, look at the Imam alayhi salam right now, the 12th holy Imam, Al-Mahdi Al-Muntadar Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Al-Sharif, all we could have done, everything we tried, but subhanAllah, look how all the world started knowing who is that 12th holy Imam that was in occultation, disappeared in the basement in a city called Samarra. Subhanallah. Not us. Listen, we fall short. We do not do the message justice. But Allah Azza wa Jal, mutim nur, He will complete the message whether we like it or not. The question, will we be there or not? And that is why you'll see all the channels, all the news aired what happened in Samarra. People of the world started understanding and knowing there is an Imam in occultation, a savior. The Christians have a savior, the Jews have a savior. Each and every group think of a savior. Subhanallah. Now they know that us, the Muslims, the 12 imamis, they have also a savior, but the savior works with everyone. The savior, his message is universal, is global. The question is, what do we do for that message? And I received many different emails asking me some questions in regards to this. Before going into details about this very interesting verse that I know all of you recited, all of you know it, أَمَّا يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. We all recite this, right or wrong? Right? You know it. When we have someone that is ill, we pray for Allah, we use this verse to seek Allah Azza wa Jal's forgiveness and Allah Azza wa Jal to heal this person. We use this verse in many different ways. But tonight, inshaAllah, and tomorrow, I want to completely change the way we look at this verse. This verse is completely different from how and why we use it. SubhanAllah, for years we use this verse. Well, inshaAllah tonight, we'll try to shed the light on this. But before that, let me try to answer a few questions, and I hope I don't run out of time because I'm getting nervous already with the majlis and the lecture. I'm running out of time already. So help me with Allah salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. There was a question in regards to, okay, you're talking about the knowledge. That's fair. Someone actually wrote me, that's fair, I understand, I will follow the knowledge. But the question is, where do we get this knowledge from? Who tells us and who helps us? How do you recognize the channels for this knowledge? And this is a question that is asked many times over and over. Who do I knock? Whose door? Seriously, this is a question that is faced because we all want to learn, but sometimes we use the wrong channels to learn. We all have TVs at home. The TV provides us with what? Many different channels. You go to some channels and God forbid, oh my God, what do you see? You go to other channels. Now, I used to say, you know, if you go to the learning channel, the TLC, you'll find something good. Even that now I worry about. But the thing is, you turn on and you check and you pick and choose what you want. But sometimes you see some of these organizations, they rate
these programs for you. They tell you this is rated X, Y, and Z. This is rated such and such. What does this rating tell you? How to assess this program and how to approach this program. Who should watch this program? Does this program have violence in it? Does this program have bad language in it? Etc., etc. When we go and try to feed our children knowledge from TV, what do? Do we tell the child, here son, here's the remote, it's open. I have channels, I have regular channels, I have paid channels, and I trust you. Here's the remote. Have at it. Go and have fun. Enjoy and watch whatever you like. Do we do that? Do we do that? We are like hawks, looking at what channel, where is he or she going, what time are they watching. We actually try to review. Sometimes we don't even allow these channels. We don't allow TV at home. Why? We are watching what feeds into his or her mind. So what do? We ask. We try to watch ourselves. Let's watch this cartoon. Nowadays, even the cartoons, they became what? Dangerous. Sometimes I wonder, this is a cartoon for children? Oh my Lord, what kind of messages are in these cartoons? What kind of messages are in these movies? What kind of message? And it's supposed to be for young children. We have to worry about them. So what do? We go and watch, even when they play games. When we get our children some games, whether it's the PlayStation, the Xbox, whatever it is, what do? We do the parently thing, the fatherly thing, the motherly thing. We do the right thing. We play the games first, right? Right? Why? We want to see what entails, what does this game has. So sometimes I tell the child, no, you cannot play this game. This game might encourage my child for more violence, for more force, for more X, Y, and Z. The foul language, oh my Lord, nowadays, it's like the foul language is everywhere. The swearing words, it's like normal, like you drink water, you say a swear word. On the contrary, nowadays, when you don't say a swear word, what's wrong with you? Actually, I was faced with that. Someone told me, you know, I want to ask you a question. Is there something wrong with us? I said, why? He goes, you don't swear at all around us. I'm like, wow. Actually, I don't swear at all around you or with you or without you. It doesn't matter. I just don't swear. He goes, why? What's wrong with you? I just looked at him. I'm like, honestly? Just because I don't swear, there's something wrong with me? Things are changed today. Not that it is right. No, we should not swear. I don't care what they tell me. I don't care. But you know what's the funny thing? They end up not swearing. They find it odd after a while. You know, I don't have to tell them, shun them, don't swear, don't say that. No, I just don't swear. At the end of the day, they find themselves at fault. There's something wrong with them when they start swearing. So they stop. The best thing the Imam alayhi salam says, كُونُوا دُعَاتًا لَنَا, call to our way, بِغَيْرِ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ, not through your tongues. Meaning, don't start telling people, do and don't, do and don't. No, just do it. You want to pray? Believe me, you pray. You do your prayers, people start asking themselves, you know what? They pray. Let me pray. It's funny. One time, a colleague of mine, when his wife came to visit him, she came and met me. She said, I want to tell you something, how you changed my husband. I said, how? She goes, you know what? He started going to church. I'm like, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but he's praying. Teaching how to pray is good. We need to know how to approach people. So when we go through these channels, we don't give our children the remote control. We have guidelines. We look at things. We research things. The same thing when it comes to Minbar al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. The same thing when I go to my Sunday school. The same thing when I go to a lecture or a scholar or I ask someone. There is a disease in our community. I want to uproot this disease. That anyone that has the word, the title, Shaykh or Sayyid in front of his name, I end up asking him. It doesn't work this way. Ask for credentials. Research. Knock on doors. So why not? Why not research? Why not get to know the names of these scholars? Understand. Get to know Najaf and Qum more. Get to knock on the doors of Najaf and Qum and ask. believe me, where there is a will, there is what? A way. And you'll find it a lot easier. And if you want, go and ask the offices of the jurists. Ask of them before you follow anyone. Ask about them. Before you lend your ears and your mind to someone, ask about them. Yes, there is nothing wrong with that. Go and ask the scholars. Because at the end, it's a pyramid. We take the knowledge from one fountainhead and it just goes and flows down. The fountainhead, if it's polluted, what happens? We all got polluted. If it's clean, we all got quenched our thirst with some good clean water. Why is it that when it comes to knowledge, we don't care? Especially religious knowledge. If you notice, I'm repeating this over and over again. Why? Because it is serious. If it wasn't serious, why would I put it in every lecture? Everywhere I go. Because nowadays, dear brothers and sisters, our youth, their minds are being poisoned by principles and wrong principles and wrong teachings. And the problem is, they're saying this is the teaching of our Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. When it's not. When it's really not. Where do you get this knowledge? Where do you get this information? Sometimes we turn things into non-reality. Why? Because at the end of the day, if all I read is one or two ahadith, one or two narrations, and then you keep on asking me, what would I start doing? I start making up things. If I am not rooted somehow, some way in knowledge, where I have studied for several years, when my bag is empty of things to give, what would I do? I start making things up. So ask, ask, and ask. In addition to this, now, I talked about channeling our resources into the right place. I had several questions that I was stopped and asked and emailed to me. Okay, what is it that we channel resources to? What resources, where do we channel them? When we look at ourselves individually and as a community, we have at least three types of resources. The intellectual resources, we have the physical resources, and we have the financial resources. When we come, what's most important to me is what? The intellectual resources. Your minds. Your minds are resources. What do we do with these minds? Dear brothers and sisters, you engage in reading, in reading, in reading, in reading. And not only just any reading, supervised reading. I know there were different circles established here at the Idara Ja'fariya. The book circles, excellent, do more of them, read more of them. Engage in discussions, ask scholars, go and fetch for them, go and seek their knowledge. So engage. And the engagement that I ask of you, feed your mind, not only the religious sciences and the religious knowledge, but all sorts of knowledge. You have to understand how the world, what are the philosophies outside in this world? How other people are thinking? What are they trying to put out there? It is extremely important. In order for me to stand grounds, when I discuss my theory, I need to know other people, what they think and how they think. I cannot expect people to just listen to me if I did not listen to them. This is really important because I find many of us are so uni thinkers, they only think one way. They don't know what others are thinking. They just say they're wrong. Why are they wrong? Really, those who say this philosophy is wrong, the Western, we're very good at saying the Western world is wrong. Why? What is this Western world built on? Today, globalization is not only in the West, it's in the East. Secular thinking is not only in the West, it's in the East also. You think wrong thinking and wrong philosophy stem just from the West? Who killed Imam Hussein? Can we say the West killed Imam Hussein? Who took the Khilafah from Amir al-Mu'min Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam? You want to say the West? You want to also blame Europe and America? No! Why do you always want to finger point somewhere else? We have a problem in the same house. We have an internal problem. Allah says, الْيَوْمَ يَأِسَ الَّذِينَ Those who disbelieve gave up. Why? because today akmaltu lakum dinakum, that religion is perfect. We have internal issues. We have problems in our house. As Muslims, you see the divisions that happen. It didn't happen long time ago because the Romans or the Persians. It was because there is a problem. We have a problem within the Muslims. Where did the Al-Qa'ida come from? Okay, forget about the thoughts of Al-Qa'ida. Where the Salafis came from? Where did the Wahhabism come from? We keep on pointing outside. It's from Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Taymiyyah from whom? Look at all this and you'll find at the time Ibn Taymiyyah was attacking one of the major scholars of Shia. And he tried to attack his book, and there was an intellectual discussion going on. And it's still going on today. Dear brothers and sisters, this engagement is important. We cannot just sit aside and say, let things take their course in history. If we do not change history, we will repeat it. If we do not change history, we shall repeat history. Meaning what? Karbala will be revived every single day in our lives. Meaning what? We either are on the camp of Hussein alayhi salam, reviving religion, or the camp of Yazid, killing and destroying religion. As simple as that. That is why we talk about Karbala. That's why we try to revive the mentioning of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is the intellectual side. The physical side. We need to attend. I cannot have, why is it only in Muharram we have the attendance? Why don't we have it every single week, every single lecture? Why is it when Imam Sadiq alayhi salam had 4,000 students in his university? Why isn't that we don't flock to the lectures? We don't knock on the doors of the scholars. Why is it in Dua Kumail there's a low attendance? Why when we read this important supplication every single Thursday night, we don't have that great attendance? You want something to do? I tell you. Supplication of Dua Kumail. I know here tomorrow on Saturday in the morning they have also sessions for Peak of Eloquence, Nahj al-Balagha. Let's see how many people attend at 6 a.m. in the morning. Oh, 6 a.m. Come on. 6 a.m. Give and take. Maybe 7, 8. 6 a.m. You want to test yourself? You want to test yourself? You say, Ya Laytana, I wish I was with Imam Hussein alayhi salam on the 10th day of Muharram in the land of Karbala, in no water, everyone against me, I'm with the few fighting Yazid. Okay, don't worry about that. Show up 6 a.m., learn something, a thing or two. I find it hard to wake up 6 a.m. This is a challenge for what? How real you are. Don't blame the Idara or other centers for not providing programs. On the night of Thursday at night, how many people attend Dua Kumail? Do you know the treasure we have called Dua Kumail? How many of us sit back and discuss Dua Kumail? Dua Kumail, the wisdom is in Dua Kumail. Theology in Dua Kumail. Ethics in Dua Kumail. All Tawheed is in Dua Kumail. Why don't we listen? Why don't we join? What? It's a little bit far. One time a week is too much. Come on. Why? Why do I mention this, dear brothers and sisters? I want you to come to know yourself better. Really. Realize who you are. Who am I? Am I the person just talks about things and not actually do them? I cannot blame. Look. The resources came together. The intellectuals, the minds came together. They establish this place. They make this place available. They provide you programs. Now it's time for you to come here. It's time for you to show up. Not only in 10 days of Muharram. This place needs to be vibrant. It needs to be alive every single day. You know how your children are protected when they're with these faces every single day, once or twice or thrice a week. This way, where are they going to have their best friends? From here. And how are they being taught? From here. This is creating immunity within the community. This is creating this protection. Why is it we don't have it? I don't know. Don't ask me. Ask yourselves. Why is it you don't show up? Why is it you don't participate? Why is it you don't support? So here we talked about the intellectual resources. We talked about the physical resources. Now the third is the financial resources. When we talk about the financial resources, what are we talking about? And no, I'm not going to ask you for money tonight. Maybe they will, but I won't right now. I mean, seriously, if you notice, the Shia, Shiaism, survived on what? On the independency of what? Of knowledge and finances. You'll see right now, our scholars, our jurists in the holy city of Najaf. Do you realize how many countries are begging them to take money from them? Even the Iraqi government itself, they refuse to take a penny from them. They refuse to take a penny. Why? For one word, independency. So when they make a decision, they cannot be influenced by this or that saying, well, I paid you the money, remember? No, you paid us nothing. We actually are the ones that made you exist. We are the ones that threaten your thrones. Look at the time of Saddam. With all his might and power, he had his eyes where? On Najaf. What are they going to do? What are they going to say? And some of us, most of us don't know what Najaf had provided. What Najaf did. At the time of the Shah, where did you think his eyes were? On Qom. Why? That's the stronghold of Shia Islam. Qom and Najaf and all the Hawzat. All the Islamic seminaries. That's how we completely shook the thrones of the mightiest of the mightiest. All the way. At the time of occultation, even before the Imams alayhim salam. You think the Abbasis or the Umayyads liked what the Imams... They were so threatened by the Imams alayhim salam. They were so scared of the Imams alayhim salam. Dear brothers and sisters, read about the power and the might of the Shia, yet they were not in power. Look at the might at the time of the Buwayhis, the Saljuqis, the Mamalik, Al-Fatih, all of them. They were so powerful with the power of the edict and the verdict. One word, one line would turn things upside down. Subhanallah. Subhanallah on that power. How were they able to get that power? Knowledge and independence. They were so independent and still are from any influence in their knowledge and in their finances. So no one can control them. No one can say, I paid you to do this. No one can claim, I have power over you. There is absolute independence. Some of the brothers and sisters say, why is it in Shia Islam we do not have such like our marja'iyah doesn't become an organization? You know why? So it becomes and it is the most an absolute, sincere and true democracy on the face of the earth, defined by knowledge and piety. Knowledge and piety. How do you call piety? You think if one of our jurists does something wrong, it takes a ballot or a voting process to completely take him down? No. As soon as it is confirmed, he's done. And you think if we know of anything is wrong in a jurist, he does not become disqualified? Subhanallah, this is the most influential and powerful system on the face of the earth. Why? Because it is a system protected by Allah Azza wa Jal through the hands of the 12th Holy Imam alayhi salam. And it was secured by what? Independence. How? In knowledge and in finances. This is important. We talked about the intellectual resources. I talked about the physical resources. And you know what? Does anyone force me to abide by the rulings of His Eminence, Grand Ayatollah, the Supreme Marja, Sayyid Ali Sistani? No. My heart, my mind, after seeing he's qualified, after seeing all the it makes me follow him. I don't need no one putting anything, any kind, under the threat of anything to make me follow him. Subhanallah. What kind of independence is that? What moved the people around at the time of Al-Mujaddid al-Shirazi, when even the Shah wanted tobacco, he couldn't get it. Why? Because one of the scholars, the grand jurist of the time, issued a verdict. Tobacco is not to be sold or is not to be used. In his own palace, he was begging someone to give him tobacco. No one. Why? The jurist said so. Dear brothers and sisters, learn about the might and power of our scholars, our institutions. How? Knowledge and of what? Finance. How do we get our finance? And that's why we have khums. The khums is the money that goes to the Imam Sahib al-Asr wa Saman alayhi salam, or the one that is doing and committing what? The role, the partial role of the Imam, that leadership. That leadership, how do we support it? It's through the khums of our Prophet. Al-khums, whatever we have at the end of the year, after we pay off all our expenses, whatever we have left, whether it's a penny or $1 million or more, it doesn't matter. We pay 20% of it. And today, mashallah, you can pay it and it's tax deductible, as long as the institution who you are paying to has that authorization from the grand jurist. And how do we, what is the khums used for? One major thing. You know what it is? To advance Shia Islam, specifically in the area of education. Wherever, by the way, it's an obligation on every person to pay the khums. No matter what it is. I'm not going to go into the jurisprudence details. It takes 2 or 3 lectures. But it is, look at every book of jurisprudence and Islamic law. It is required. 20% of your profit after expenses. Now, you take the permission of the grand jurist. He authorizes you, for example, this institution or other institutions. And you look at their, don't just, wallah, I come and tell you, you know what, I have authorization, give me your money. No. Show, ask for a proof. The maraja they issue, and you know what? Our maraja, what do? They say the money of the Shia in America, let it be spent on advancing the Shia in America. Our money stays to advance us here. How do you think we can build things? Religious institutions are built from the khums. So many different places, the poor, the needy. And the you know, in the Hawza al-Ilmiya in Qom, over 30,000 students. How do you think Sayyidi Sistani pays so many of these students? How? Or other maraja? It's through the khums money. And that's how we spread the knowledge. That's how we spread them everywhere. And here, dear brothers and sisters, in this place, how do you support this place? Even by the khums. The khums is an obligation, by the way. It's not only in Shia Islam. Other religions have it. As a matter of fact, do you know some churches, I think the Lutherans have it. You actually have to register with the church and you have to show them your taxes. When you submit them, you give them a copy of it too. So they can register your income, and based on it, they deduct from not your profits after expenses, from your entire income. I'm not saying do that now. I'm just telling you, there are, don't like, why do we do it? Others do it. But we do it because it's an obligation on us. And inshallah today, you'll see that this institution was able to obtain also one of the ijazas from His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Al-Uzma, Sayyid Ali Sistani. And this is how we can support. And I really didn't mean this to turn around to become a lecture to talk about this issue. But the reality of the matter, who will support us? Who will support this institution to do more? To advance more? If I run away, if I say intellectual, if I say physical, if I say financial, who's supposed to be doing this? The atheists? the Christians and the Jews? It's us. Why is it we don't take the burden? Why is it we don't take the responsibility and look at every institution? If you don't have, if you pay your khums, also supplement it with donations. At the end of the day, do your part of protecting that knowledge. That knowledge is protected by your intellect, by your physical, by your financial. It is our duty. Let's not only cry and say, we wish we were with you, the Imam. He's saying, now you're with me. Do this. Do you think that you will see this heaven if you don't pay the khums, the right of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam? If you don't give up your khums, if you don't pay your khums, you're stealing from the money of Ahlul Bayt. Imagine yourself being a thief from the money of Ahlul Bayt. La ilaha illallah. And if you don't know of it, get to know of it. Because this is one of the pillars. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? Two things. Malu Khadija wa Sayfu Ali. The sword of Ali and the wealth of Khadija. This is how we strive to be better. This is how we advance, dear brothers and sisters. لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ So it can prevail this over all religions is how? But by what we do and how we do it. Every person, Al-Imam Al-Askari alayhi salam, one of his wukala came to him. And as he was coming to him, he was gathering the khums from one place, taking it to the Imam Al-Askari alayhi salam. And when this representative of the Imam was coming, an old lady stopped him. She told him, I have one dinar, she wrapped it up. He goes, this is my khums. The representative arrived to the Imam alayhi salam and he gave him the list. You know, this is from this khums is from this merchant, from this person, from this scholar, etc., etc. And Imam alayhi salam put it all on the side. He told him, there is still something. He goes, what? He told the representative, give me that dinar from that old lady. The person, the representative forgot. He goes, oh, I'm sorry, Sayyidu Mawlai. He gave it to him. He goes, this dinar that is taken out from the heart of a believer, this is what we want. Subhanallah. Dear brothers and sisters, these institutions, now, you know the responsibility, and I want to make it clear. Why do people don't pay? Why do people don't support? It's either the problem is on the community or on the institutions. The community needs to support. The institutions now, they need to be transparent. They need to show their records. They need to share the decision with the community. They need to benefit the community. Because we are responsible and we are accountable for that responsibility. And with this exchange road between the community and the leadership, this is how we strive. This is how we advance. It doesn't matter if you are in school, if you are going through college, if you are making the money. We're not talking about, don't always say, oh, those who make the millions will pay. No. As a matter of fact, it's those who make the pennies that will support. Why? When you give something, the little you give out of your finances to support someone, to support an institution, you start caring about it. Why? These walls were built on and with your own hands. With your own work. With your own money. Dear brothers and sisters, inshallah, we'll continue. And tonight, inshallah, I would like to ask you, because the representative of His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Al-Uzma, Sayyid Ali Sistani, is coming to present this institution with this ijazah, with this authorization. The purpose of it is what? To show support. To show what we're doing here, what you're doing here is important. The Grand Ayatollah is not going to issue something just because. No. He will see, what are you doing? What purpose are you spending the money? And education is important. And this support, so you can see that the jurist and the maraja, all the way in Najaf and Qom are supporting you here in the United States of America. Don't say they're forgetting you. They are part of your work. Their dua, I was with His Eminence and Grand Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Sistani sitting. He said, tell the people in the West that every day in the morning, after my morning prayer, I pray for them. This prayer, if from this wise man, will give us the blessing. I was with His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Sayyid Sa'id Hakim. He mentioned the same thing. I was with two prominent individuals from the community here in March or April. And you know, one thing, a person that I truly respect, he told me when we were coming back on the plane. He goes, you know what's interesting? We visited all the Maraja. And he said, it was not planned, we just the same, or 2 days before, or 1 day before, we called them up, we're coming, and the Maraja are open, you can go and visit them. He goes, we asked them all for, give us advice. He goes, you know what amazes me? The fact that all of them gave us the same message and same advice. This myth that the Maraja are not working together, they do not collaborate, trash this myth. Completely false and wrong. It is us that create the problem, not them. And that's why, dear brothers and sisters, you must know that our Maraja, our jurists, our scholars are part of our advancements. And yes, you write, you talk, they will hear. But like any other individual or institution, just because you have to wait a little bit in line or delayed a little bit, after all, 200 million followers, not one or two. Even the largest corporation in the United States cannot handle that kind of impact. So what do you think? Give them some time. Show some leniency when talking to them, when dealing with them. Dear brothers and sisters, as we talk about the sacrifice, about the support, about the resources, we go to Karbala. Why? Because in Karbala, we show everyone that believed supported. Everyone gave. Even, see, sometimes we say, you know what? The strangers gave, the strangers supported. But the amazing part, here we see Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, the closest one, gave and supported. We see, dear brothers and sisters, let us go back to Karbala. Let us go to the 10th day of Muharram in the land of Karbala. On the 10th day, on the night, on the 9th night at night. So tomorrow will be the 10th day of Muharram. What do we see? We look around the camp, we see all the adults, they're sitting together, they're talking about the plans, what will happen, how will it happen. But in one corner, dear brothers and sisters, we see three young men. Who are they? The children of Lady Zainab. And who else? We see the child of Imam Hussein, Imam Hassan. We see Al-Qasim. We see Aun and Abdullah talking to one another. What will they do tomorrow? How would they give themselves towards the way of Allah? What will they do with Imam Hussein alayhi salam? One asks the other, the young kids, young men, thinking and talking like adults. Dear brothers and sisters, on the 10th day of Muharram, after Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam was martyred in the battlefield of Karbala. Let us see who came to Imam Hussein, who brought to Imam Hussein two youths, Aun and Abdullah. It was no other than Lady Zainab alayhi salam. They say Lady Zainab alayhi salam brought her two sons to Imam
حسين. But Imam al-Hussein عليه السلام, he was reluctant. They're young. They insisted on Imam Hussein. And al-Qasim عليه السلام was following in their footsteps. They say when Aun and Abdullah went into the battlefield. Look at this scene. I want you to picture with me. Who is looking at them? Who's following them? Here stands Hussein. Right by him is al-Abbas alayhi salam, their uncle. And to the left is whom? Lady Zainab. Lady Zainab. They say they were watching the two youth. As they were watching, who comes to Imam Hussein? Al-Qasim, the son of al-Hasan alayhi salam. Am Hussein, permit me to fight. Uncle Hussein, allow me to go and fight. Al-Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam does not permit al-Qasim at the beginning. Al-Qasim, he goes back to his mother's tent. He sits before his mother. He tells her, Uncle Hussein does not permit me to fight. At that time, the three, al-Imam al-Hussein, al-Abbas, Lady Zainab, is looking at the two children of Lady Zainab fighting. They say, as they were fighting, one on the right and the other on the left, the soldiers of Ibn Ziyad, لعنهم الله, attack Aun and Abdullah. They say, when Aun fell on the grounds of Karbala, the first thing he said, Amma, Uncle Hussein. They say, Imam al-Hussein rushed to Aun to hear Abdullah says, as he fell on the grounds of Karbala, Am Hussein, Uncle Hussein. Dear brothers and sisters, they say, now let's go back to the tent of al-Qasim with his mother. He asked her, mother, what can I do? They say, his mother remembered, there was a letter wrapped by Imam Hassan, and he told her, when you see my son Qasim on the 10th day of Muharram in the land of Karbala, give him this message. They say Al-Qasim alayhi salam opens this message. What's in it? In it, Bunay Qasim, son Qasim, if it was on the 10th day of Muharram in the land of Karbala, and you see your uncle Hussein all alone in the battlefield, go give yourself, go fight before him. They say Al-Qasim, taking this letter, rushed to Imam Hussein. Upon showing him this letter, Imam Hussein, tears coming from his eyes, permitted the Qasim to go and fight in the battlefield of Karbala. They say Al-Qasim went to give the last farewell to his mother. At that time, Al-Abbas alayhi salam and Al-Hussein carrying Aun and Abdullah back to the tent where Lady Zainab alayhi salam was there, crying and shedding the tears. Dear brothers and sisters, now let's go to the tent where Al-Qasim with his mother, she looked at him, she said, son, hold on for a second. What did she do? She gave him the turban of his father. She gave him from the clothes of his father, Imam Hassan. Dear brothers and sisters, they say Al-Qasim alayhi salam, when he stood, he left the tent. Before he leaves and goes to the battlefield, Al-Qasim, who does he want to say the farewell? After
after he said the farewell to his mother, who do you think? To Lady Zainab alayha salam. They say, Al-Qasim alayhi salam, as he opened the tent where Lady Zainab was sitting crying with the two bodies of her sons, Aun and Abdullah. When she saw someone coming in, Lady Zainab raised her head with her eyes. She stopped breathing. She was shocked, surprised, as if she saw Imam Hassan. She thought she saw her brother Al-Imam Al-Hassan. Al-Qasim came, kissed the hands of Lady Zainab, asked her the last farewell. He hugged her. She hugged him. Look, the mother. Look, Lady Zainab, her heart. She already lost two children. Now Al-Qasim. They say when Al-Qasim alayhi salam took the permission, went into the battlefield, he was fighting the enemies of Allah. Al-Qasim alayhi salam trying in the battlefield. At one point his slippers got loosed. They say Al-Qasim alayhi salam leaned. He wanted to tie his slippers. When Al-Azdi, this cursed man by Allah, saw Al-Qasim kneeling on the ground, he saw the opening of his neck. They say Al-Azdi, with his sword up, leaned over, rushed to Al-Qasim and struck Al-Qasim. Al-Qasim alayhi salam fell on the grounds of Karbala. He asked and called, Am Hussein, Uncle Hussein. They say Al-Hussein alayhi salam rushed to Al-Qasim. He said, قاسم بني قاسم يعز على عمك. It is so hard for your uncle Hussein to see you call him and I cannot respond. The hardest moment, they say, when Hussein alayhi salam left Qasim, it took him back to the camp who was waiting for him. His mother, ردتك يا ابني ما ردت الدنيا ولا مال. ردتك يا ابني ما ردت الدنيا ولا مال ولا مال. Son, I wanted you. I didn't want this world. I didn't want this wealth. يا جاسم يا جاسم خابت ظنوني ولا مال. Oh Qasim, how disappointed I am, Qasim, with this world, Qasim. Look at the mother talking to her child. Qasim, at that moment, when a mother sees her child in such state, you think she thinks anymore? It is the heart talking. Qasim, who will bear me, Qasim? Qasim, who will take care of me in my old age? Qasim, who will take care of me? Qasim, Qasim, dear brothers and sisters, look at Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imagine him seeing the tragedies before his eyes. What would you say right here from this spot all the way to Karbala, back in history? حبيبي حسين. I want you to say, to call with me, يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين. Everyone, I don't want anyone to be looking at me. Everyone, don't be silent. If from the heart that religion rested in, let it echo the height of that religion with these two words. Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. Louder, louder. Ya Hussein. The woman, everyone. Ya Hussein. Ya. Don't you have needs? Ya Hussein. I'm not hearing you. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Allahumma bihaq Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Taqabbal minna hadha al-qaleel ya Allah. Allahumma bihaq Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Accept this little we are offering ya Allah. And for accepting this majlis and all our work, and let us recite Surah Al-Fatiha for the thawab of all the marhumin, especially for Fazl Hussein ibn Ja'far Hussein, Leila Begum bin Qurban Hussein, Muhammad Fakhruddin ibn Muhammad Ibrahim, Muhammad Abdullah Hassan, for all of them and all the deceased ones, let us offer them the blessings of Surah Al-Fatiha after recitation of Salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.